Thank you. Hi, folks. My name is Wendy. I'm a compulsive overeater, and thank you so much to Rich for asking me to speak at your meeting. Don't see a lot of familiar faces, but I recognize Connie, who I've known a long time, and Rich. So, great to be here. So, I'll just get some numbers and stuff out of the way, and I'm going to show my screen for a second. So, this first photo is I'm on the bottom. This is taken of me with a friend of mine in Vancouver. It was right after I had joined the program. I mean, pretty soon after. I joined OA in January of 1984, not too long after that big earthquake we had in Northridge, and went up to visit my friend. And so this is a friend from college, and I weighed myself at her mom's house, which is where we were staying, and I hadn't weighed myself in years, and I was very surprised to see the number was 223. Never thought it would get that high. Then this is having been in the program for a while. This is around, okay, I'm always screwy with the math. Okay, this would have been about 19, no, about the year 2000 or so, because my young niece was born in, well, she's now an older young woman. She was born in 99, and so yeah, so this is probably about 2000 where I had started to put weight back on. And then this picture is more what I look like today. So, top weight 223, currently maintaining about 83 pound loss, but working on getting back a little bit lower. But that's taken its time, and that's okay. Anyhow, yeah. So I came in. I was 23 years old. You know, I came into this program, and I did not remember until a few years later that my mother had taken me to the old San Fernando Valley Darby office, it was called in Reseda, to a young person's meeting. And I left because I heard a lot of young people talking about God, and it just was kind of weird to me because I'd had some religious training growing up, but just that whole God thing kind of threw me, and I was like, oof, I don't want to be with religious people. So I put myself on my, I would say it was my only diet that I ever went on when I was in between 11th and 12th grade. I went, and just for reference, I'm 5'4". I went from 185 to 135. And, you know, like it says in the big book of AA, like Bill Wilson, I had arrived, baby. You know, I'd arrived. People were treating me better. You know, the boys were paying attention. Teachers were being nicer. Life was good. And, you know, but there was something in me that just, it didn't quite sit right. You know, it was just sort of like, why am I getting better treatment just because I am physically smaller? So I went to college back east. I went to a lovely women's college and proceeded to really get comfortable, make friends, and eat. You know, they talk about those freshman 15, and I'm pretty certain I put on that freshman 50 and then some. So, you know, I'm at college. You know, went to school in Massachusetts. I spent my third year in the UK. And then I moved back, you know, in 92 and started working in my industry. Lived with my mom and grandmother at first. And then, you know, after a year, moved out with an old high school friend who was a gay man. And we used to spend our weekends going to, you know, West Hollywood, going dancing. It was really fun. I was heavy. I didn't really, you know, I didn't have to worry about, you know, dating or anything like that. You know, I was just very uncomfortable in my body, but I was very comfortable around the gay men. And I would schlep my, you know, I was living in the city at the time, and I would schlep my butt out to the valley, sort of resentfully, to see my mom and grandma because they never wanted to come visit me. And yeah, so I have a very strong memory. It was June, it must have been June, because Los Angeles has its gay pride in June. And we went to West Hollywood for the parade, walked back home. It was a couple miles, you know, and I had ripped like a hole this big in my thighs, you know, just, but it took me several months after that to call my mother of all people. And I said, Mom, what's that OA thing you used to do in the like 70s or 80s or whatever the heck it was? And she said, oh, Overeaters Anonymous. Yeah, I was thinking I might go back again and give it a try. See, when I was growing up, my mother was either doing Optifast or she was doing OA Gray Sheet, which I knew because she was eating the frozen blueberries and the ricotta cheese, because, you know, God forbid you can't have a carb when you get, you know, shot in that with that food plan. So I This was back in, 94. So I called the phone number and it was a recording and told you where all the meetings were. So I found myself at a place that's called the Log Cabin in West Hollywood. It's on Robertson. They still hold meetings there. And I went in on a Sunday night and, I heard people talk about God, which I thought, that's kind of interesting, because I completely had blocked that I had gone as a kid. And I mean, I was still a kid, you guys, I was 23, but when I was like, a preteen, well, not even a preteen, I was probably like, 14 when I went, before driving age. So I go, I listen, I got some hugs, which I thought was a bit unusual, but I thought, I'm gonna try this thing out. So I started going to meetings regularly. I started attending women's meetings. I started attending gay and lesbian focused meetings. Although, back in those days, we were just calling them LG. They were just gay and lesbian meetings because we didn't have all, stuff. We didn't have as many terms back then. And back then, we only had the OA 12. We didn't even have the OA 12 and 12. So we were just reading from this book that was just the OA 12 steps. And maybe we used the brown book. I don't know. But at any rate, I started meeting people, started getting sponsors, and I didn't feel like I was on a diet. I felt like I had support. I wasn't, again, I wasn't super into the the God higher power thing or whatever you want to call it. But one day I was sitting in my office, I get a phone call, and a woman says, "Oh, hi, this is Vivian. I heard you speak at the Sunday. I heard you speak at a meeting. You said you might need some help with the food. Would you like me to food sponsor you?" And I said, "Well, sure, Vivian, but how did you get my phone number?" And she said, "Oh, your roommate gave it to me." Now that was really odd because, back then we shared a landline. I don't even think we had, remember you used to have answering machines with the little tapes in it? Some of you are probably too young to remember that. But anyhow, he gave a stranger my phone number. And I later referred to that as my first God shot, that this woman called me. And it's not that, we're still in contact or that, she became my sponsor forever and ever. But it was just her reaching out just to say, "Hey, it sounded like you needed a bit of help here." So, I started doing the work, weight started coming off. I felt like I was sort of part of something. I didn't feel ashamed, but back in my younger years, I'm just trying to keep an eye on the timer. She's going to give me the 5 minute, right? It's Flower Mama. Okay. I didn't really, like I said, I wasn't really quite attaching to that higher power concept, but what was feeling different was that I didn't feel that same anger and resentment that I did before when people were noticing the weight loss. But I will say this, I would say things, I would talk about being in the program. And I remember an old school friend of mine said, "Boy, you're sure talking about going to the gym a lot." And it was like, yeah, that's boring. Because I didn't really want to talk about the program. It's not that I was ashamed, but I was still kind of figuring out what is this higher power thing? What does it have to do with weight loss? What is it doing in my life? Because really, I just came because I wasn't thinking that there were things wrong with my life or my thinking. I was just thinking, hey, I'm overweight and I'm in my 20s and maybe I should do something about it because I remember vaguely when I was in high school I lost weight. So I continued doing the work. I over time I changed sponsors. And then, I got down to 154. And again, I thought I had arrived and I was sponsoring people and I was doing the deal. But here's what happens, and this is what the big book cautions us about. If we fail to enlarge our spiritual life, meetings are wonderful, but recovery is in the steps, relief is in the meetings. So I needed to continue moving forward with my step work. And, even if I'm reworking my steps or if I'm with somebody who's new, I encourage people, it's still a good idea that you can do steps 10 and 11. You can still take a nightly inventory. And I, for me now, currently, that's just become a practice that I just do it. And my sponsor even said, "You know what? Get yourself a 10 step buddy. I don't need to hear your inventory every night." So I have two buddies. I let them know my food that I ate during the day, and I share my 10th step with them. And I just started feeling a little bit different. But back then, I wasn't doing the meditation. I wasn't doing that sort of stuff. It was just about talking to the sponsor a few times a week and going to the meetings. And you know what happens? Oh, I start picking up some of these habits, you know, eating habits, other things that I hadn't been doing for a while, because I thought, well, you know, I've had a bit of time and space, you know, the table bread's not really going to be an issue. You know, whatever, working out, even though I knew that it made my brain feel better, not just my body. I don't really need to do that stuff because, you know, I've done this. And that's how our disease works, or that's how my disease works. You do something for a while, it works, you feel good, you're taking your medicine, and then boom, out of nowhere, oh wow, you know, I don't really need to keep doing this because, you know, I got it. I know what's up. I don't need to worry about it anymore. So what happened was weight comes on. Oh my goodness, I see my buddy. I see my buddy Sandy. I just moved the thingy. The weight starts coming on. And you know, so what do? I seek professional help, you know, an outside source, a nutritionist, because a friend in program suggests that. Well, this nutritionist really coddled me quite a bit, and like she wouldn't, oh, you can turn your back, you don't need to know your weight, and read this book. This book will help you out. And you know, when you go out to dinner with your boyfriend, because by this time I had acquired a boyfriend who later became my husband, you know, share the dessert, count out the French fries, have one piece of the table bread. And it's like, that's great if you're a normal eater. But guess what? I'm not a normal eater. So fate intervened, higher power, God intervened, and she got pregnant and she quit her practice. So she referred me to another woman who was really quite wacky and was even further out in the South Bay. And, you know, mind you, I was still living in the San Fernando Valley. So what did I do? What works? We go back to our OA fellows. I came clean with my sponsor. Listen, you know, listen, I need to, like, give me some suggestions here. Because what I used to do in the program for many years, I would try on other people's abstinence. I would try to put my size 8 foot in their size 10 shoe or their size 5 shoe. Oh, well, you know, I don't eat bread. I don't eat this. I don't eat that. So I'd be like, fantastic. That's my solution. I'm not going to have any bread. And then I'd have a pound of rice with every meal. So, when I work with people, my thought is, whenever someone tells me this is your alcoholic food, this is your food plan, it might work for a month, 2 months, but then something's going to happen. If it does not eventually come to me through my higher power, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, sometimes loudly, sometimes softly, it has to come from within me. Because if it's coming from an outside source, I'm defiant. I'm an addict. I am not going to do that. So I've made slow changes over the years. There are a lot of things that there are things that I eat today that I didn't eat before. There are things that I've had to let go of that, you know, I, you know, did a lot of loopholes. I'm queen of loopholes. If you ever need to talk about loopholes, I'll tell you all about them, you know. But this last time when I had an away trip, I got to just take a sip of water here. I had an away trip with my husband, and we're in Costa Rica, and like emotions are high. We're with his father and his father's wife. He doesn't ever call that woman his stepmother, and I can see why after meeting her. But you know, and first it's like the no sugar added vegan desserts. Then we get to this other resort, and it's like, I don't care. I haven't had ice cream for a while. Let's do this. You know, and I'm the one who didn't taste her, you know, wedding cake, who didn't have the wedding cake, didn't do any of the tasting, ba 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 ba. Honeymoon, Hawaiian mud pie is a dessert, and I thought it was a vegetable. So these are the kinds of things that I do, right? So this last time,
5-minute reminder.
5 minute, thank you so much, Flower Mama. So you know, this last time that things happened, and I think I'd have to really check my numbers. It's funny that I can't quite remember. I think I'm getting towards 4 years, not three. I'd have to, that's terrible that I can't look it up. But it's just when you've been around 31 years, you don't always do all those numbers. Because there were periods when I had 13 years. I called it my bat mitzvah years. And then there were other periods that were shorter. But whenever a sponsor like threatened to drop me or whatever, and then I sort of had to change my abstinence based on the sponsor, That also was sort of a recipe for disaster. So this last time, my current sponsor, who I met through the power of Zoom, I had known her years ago in LA, but she moved out to Vegas years ago. And I was like, I know that face, I know that voice. So I asked her to sponsor me. And she said, okay, I came clean with her. I didn't want to. I wanted to brush it under, oh, this is a slip. This is a slip. Because I came home and I wasn't like doing desserts and sugar. But I knew, the heart knows when it's lying, and it eventually catches up with the brain, and then everything comes together, and you have to just come clean. And this is proven not just with food, you guys, with life. So, I approached my sponsor. I said, "Listen, this is what's up." And she said, "Okay, well, we're gonna pray about it. I want you to write about it. We'll think about it." Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, good. So then, we had a few more calls, and she wasn't pressing me. And I was like, oh, good. Oh, good. I'm like, I'm in the clear. I can just continue. And she said, okay, well, what are you gonna do? What's the decision? And she didn't say, I'm gonna fire you, but I was out of excuses, because I have been humble enough to start over many a time. I couldn't say, oh, well, I don't want people to see me, because it wasn't like massive weight gain. But it doesn't matter if it's a pound or 100 pounds. What matters is, am I lying to myself? Am I lying to others? If I'm truly trying to practice the principles of this program, there are certain actions that I really can't keep taking. And again, this isn't just about food. This is about life. Because I came in, I thought I had an eating problem. I had a thinking problem. I had a living problem. And these last couple years have been a little bit challenging. A lot has been going on. I'm older now. I'm facing those womanly challenges. I'm, looking at, moving on to like a different career, starting some new stuff. And I'm 55 next month. So I'm like, wow, you're actually willing to do that. But I would say to you that I am probably definitely physically, I'm hoping spiritually and emotionally in the best shape of my life, but not, this is not perfect. My food isn't perfect. But my one saving grace is that I'm always willing. I am willing to seek. A former sponsor said, be a seeker. And like just yesterday, this was very divinely inspired. I was on my regular 7:30 a.m. Zoom meeting. I don't tend to look at all the chats because this is a super large meeting, but someone posts in the chat, hey, I'm looking for a partner for two-way prayer. And I was like, man, I've been hearing about that from my sponsee. I've been hearing about that from the birthday party committee. People do this thing. And I'm not the biggest praying person, but I do get on my knees and speak to God in the morning and do my meditation imperfectly every day. Imperfectly, because I have the monkey mind that's like, la 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 la, what are we gonna go buy at Costco? Blah 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 blah. God, God, all this kind of stuff. So I texted this woman who also happened to be on my phone, and we spoke for a bit yesterday. And I did my first day. I set the alarm 15 minutes earlier. I got downstairs. I wrote a about an issue, a thing to God. Need your help with this. And then God, higher power, writes back. And it didn't feel super forced. It wasn't a lengthy note, but it just kind of felt like, oh wow, this is kind of interesting. Where is this coming from? And I think it's because of the work I've done with outside help, other programs, but just that like OA has been my heart for 31 years. I mean, more than half my life. It never really occurs to me to leave OA. Once in a great way, I'm like, oh, what would happen if I were to leave OA? And I'm like, I don't even want to know what would happen if I, left OA. I would just be drowning in a vat of, I don't know, mac and cheese, I don't know, just like a bottomless fondue drip of whatever, just like shoot it up in my veins. I don't know. I just this program means so much to me. I've done various forms of service. Some of the service I've done hasn't worked out. Some has worked out. I'm doing a new challenge. I'm helping out with the birthday party committee. We'll see how that goes in January. But I'm willing. I want to help these young folks who have taken it on, this is their first time doing it, and I want to be of service to them and give back to this wonderful community. It's okay if I don't get to be in a ton of workshops, if I'm busy being the hotel liaison. That's really okay. Just showing up, just smiling at people, because I know people are gonna be nervous. I know my first conferences, I was like, oh my God, I can't even eat that food. That food, it's just too terrifying to think about having that horrible hotel food. But you know what? It's not about the food. It's about the fellowship. It's about, the love and compassion we have for each other. In the other programs, I wasn't like really shown that immediate compassion because I think that there's something about us, in AA, they're always laughing and like they're joking and like, oh, you're an alcoholic. Yeah, you sure are. You're really an alcoholic, aren't you? Ha. But here, it's such an isolatory, not a word, isolating disease. And we're just, it's just us and the food sometimes. And thank you so much for letting me share. I'm looking forward to hearing from you guys. Back to the format.